I'm going to be nice to the women, give y'all a break. You still need to listen, but I want to pick on the men a little bit this morning, and it's one of those sorry, not sorry kind of deals. So it's kind of something that I've thought about lately, probably more so as I've gotten older. It's like I start a lot of sermons like that. As I've gotten older, I feel, but you know, as men, we have a way that we need to act, you know, a way that Christ tells us we need to act. You know, whether we are single, we're married, sons, fathers, we have a way that he has laid before us for us to act, and we're going to look over a few of those things. Well, the title from this lesson actually comes from what Paul wrote in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And what I'd like to do this morning is focus on the idea of acting like men, especially Christian men, and what it means to be a real man. And I believe we have good examples of this in the New Testament, where the men of God are instructed on how to conduct themselves. And we're going to talk about single men first. And we're going to look at how single men should conduct themselves. So first, let's take a look at the charge given to Timothy, which was a single man of that time. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. We learn from these words how a single man is to act. While it's true that Timothy was a minister, I believe the same principles apply to all single Christian men. In fact, I'd go even further to say that it applies to all Christians. You notice all the things that Timothy was to be an example in. First, he was to be an example in his word or his speech. It's very important for men to watch what they say. There's always an open ear just waiting to hear a Christian man say something inappropriate. That's where a lot of people will get you, whenever you slip up in your speech and you slip up and you say something that you shouldn't. And they're going to come back and they're going to say, well, look at him. He goes to church, but he just acts just the same way that I do. That's a lot of times people will try to catch you there. So we need to be careful what we say. Well, Paul says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Oops, I missed a spot. There it talks about the word or speech. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Now, 2 Timothy was to be an example in his conduct or his behavior. A man is to conduct himself in an honorable way and not in some lewd manner. Sometimes you find men behaving in vulgar ways, but a Christian man shouldn't behave this way. The third thing Timothy was to be an example in was love. If a man is full of love, he won't have any room for hate or angry words. We won't slip up on our words because we'll have nothing but love. So for a Christian man to conduct himself in a way that is pleasing to God, he must have love. The last three things Timothy is to be a good example in is in spirit, faith, and purity. Every man should live their life in such a way that others around them will look at them and they can see the Spirit of God in them, the Spirit of Christ in them. In order for you to have that Spirit of Christ, it takes faith. A man needs to have faith in God. This last thing is very important to those that are single men. That's purity. Now, I know we can all, as men, relate to that, the purity, especially being a single, you know, when you're a teenager, you know how it is. You know how guys get, how, you know, we're growing up, we're maturing, we're still trying to learn. And, as a single man, as a young man, purity can be a thing that you struggle with. So a single man needs to watch how he conducts himself around women and that he maintains pure thoughts. Let's take a look at what Paul tells Titus in Titus chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. Went too far. There we go. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Here Paul gives very similar instructions to Titus, but as you see, the whole idea behind this is that Christian men are to act in such a way that they will be good examples to those around them. The Bible teaches us that there's actually an advantage to those who are single. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. A single man usually has more time on their hands. He doesn't have a family to take care of, and so a single man should use that extra time and energy for the Lord. However, you know, more than likely, we hope that as a single man, you eventually find the woman that you love and you get married and start a family, which brings us to our second point. How should a man act as a husband? I think Paul describes it best in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 29. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. We learn from Paul, we're to love our wives just as Christ loved the church. You think about how deep that love really is. How deep that love that Christ had for the church. To put this into perspective, let's take a look at a few passages that show what Christ was willing to do for the church, which is basically just another way of saying what he did for us since we make up the church. Getting ahead of myself. As I said, I love our wives just as Christ loved the church. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's how much that Jesus loved you and I. He was willing to give up his home in heaven to become a man and live like one of us and be tempted, so that he could fully know how to help us in a time of need. He was willing to put his life down for us. Do you think about putting your life down for someone? Who are you going to put your life down for? I would put my life down for my wife. Are you willing to do that for your wife? Do you love your wife that much? Do you respect her that much that you would put your life down for her? Because that's what Christ did for us. And that's what he says that we should do for our wives. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Jesus was willing to give up all that he had so that he could be set free, so that we could be set free from our sin. He loved us so much that he was willing to face the torture of the cross for our sakes. You notice what John says about his sacrifice in Romans chapter 5, verse 7 through 9. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Because Jesus loved us so much, he was willing to give his life for us. And according to Acts chapter 20, verse 28, he purchased the church with his blood. That is how much Jesus loved the church, and we as husbands are to have that same type of love for our wives. This means that we should be willing to love our wives with every ounce of our being. We are to love them as we love ourselves and to nurture them as we would want to be nurtured. As part of this great love that we are to have for our wives, we should also respect them and give them the attention and affection that they deserve. I can tell you that that's one part that I probably lack in, is not always giving my wife the attention and the affection that she deserves. Because as a woman, they don't necessarily want you all over them. A woman wants you to just be there, listen to what they have to say. They just want to be held sometimes. Whenever they cry, they just want you to hold them. And that's it. It's pretty simple. I know us men, we try to make it harder than what it is, but it's pretty simple. They just want affection. They want to know that you care. All it takes is a little bit of time of your ear. And like I said, hold them when they cry. I've learned that the hard way sometimes. I know what's wrong, honey, but you just sit over there and cry, and I'm gonna go take care and finish what I was doing. And that was the wrong thing to do. Now, whether I want to or not, whether she's crying about spilt milk or something that's really bad, I take the time to just hold her. So, like I said, lessons learned as I get older. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3 through 5. There I go again. I added this stuff last night, and I guess I forgot that I added it. Love them as we love ourselves and nurture them as we would want to be nurtured. Respect them and give them the attention and affection that they deserve. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3 through 5. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Obviously, we learn from this passage that there is a responsibility for both men and women to give attention and affection to one another. However, our main focus this morning, like I said earlier, is on the men. So we learn from that passage that there is a great need for us as men to spend quality time with our wives. As good Christian men, we need to recognize the importance of rendering attention and affection to our wife. I have known of married couples where the man doesn't spend much time with his wife. In fact, they try to do everything they can to avoid spending time with them. And this isn't what God had in mind when it comes to a happy marriage. Sometimes guys want to keep doing all the same thing as they did before they got married. They want to keep in those same activities. And some of those activities you can't bring into your marriage. It's not good for the marriage. It's not going to make a happy wife. And like they say, a happy wife is a happy life. And some of those activities are good, but they still get in the way of time with your wife and time with your family. So there's things that you're going to have to give up. There's going to be compromises you're going to have to do in order to be able to spend the time with your wife and hopefully eventually with your kids. Another thing we should do is found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. And here we go again. I forgot that I put that. Attention and affection. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together for the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Another thing we are to do as husbands is to seek to understand our wives and honor them. You notice very carefully what I said. Seek to understand. I didn't say you're going to understand them. Just seek to understand them. It's not possible to completely understand a woman, and the woman would probably say the same thing. It's not possible for you to exactly understand what we're thinking or why we did something. It's not going to happen, but we need to seek to at least try to understand them. But as Christian men, we need to, like I said, try to understand them, honor them. We should be careful of how we treat our wives. Now let's take a look. Here we go. Seek to understand your wives. How men should act as fathers. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, first let's deal with the phrase, do not provoke your children to wrath. Because not all provoking is bad. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know, in this instance, there is a positive way that a person may provoke or stir someone up. And certainly, as fathers, we want to provoke or stir our children up in such a way that will lead them to righteousness. However, Paul is telling the men not to provoke their children in such a way that will cause them to be angry or even cause them to regret that you're their parent. Paul goes on and tells us men what we are to do. He says that we are to train them up, that is to fully teach them about God's word. This is one of the responsibilities of a Christian man. He should be the spiritual leader of the household and should take an active part in teaching his children about the Lord. We don't just leave it up to the women. This is not a new concept. God has always wanted the fathers to be involved in their child's upbringing. For instance, let's look at what the Bible says about Abraham in Genesis. We already went over that. Sorry about that. Chapter 18, verse 19. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. So we can see even back as far as Abraham, God had his plan for fathers. It's very important that we train our children up and use discipline if as necessary. God commanded the children of Israel to do this very thing. We had a discipline there. Discipline as necessary. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Every Christian man needs to understand the importance of this. We all need to have the attitude that Joshua did in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day when ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You think of that, and you think of putting that in our time. If you're talking to somebody from another congregation, let's say from another, somebody that's, you know, believes in Hindu or something else, that's kind of how I see that, is he's saying, look, you can serve whoever you want to, but for me and my house, I'm serving the Lord. To take that stance and say, I am serving the Lord. That's what we need to do as men whenever we are faced with obstacles in life, and we're faced with what might be another option. It's not an option. We need to serve the Lord. And now we're going to look at how you should act as a son. You know, even after men are married and have children, we're still to act like men when it comes to being a son. Paul tells us, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. As Christian men, we should never get to the point where we treat our parents badly. Instead, we should honor them. we have a biblical example of where the Jews were trying to neglect their parents, and Jesus made them understand very quickly that what they were doing was wrong. This is found in Mark 7, chapter 6, verse 13. And what brings about the conversation is when the Jews start complaining to Jesus about the disciples eating with unwashed hands. Notice Jesus' response. He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do." And he said unto them, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may help your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his mother or father, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by him, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye." See, these men were neglecting their responsibility as sons to take care of their parents in their old age. And Jesus tells them that this man-made tradition of theirs made the word of God of no effect. Another passage that makes it clear that Christian men are to take care of their parents is found in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel." If you fail to act like a man and take care of your own, you're considered worse than an unbeliever. Even Jesus did what he could from the cross to make sure his mother would be taken care of after he was gone. We see that in John chapter 19, verse 26 through 27. "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mom, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home." John would now take care of his mother. Let's never try to neglect our responsibility of taking care of our own. He took in Jesus' mother and took care of her. You know, I look on that today for me, and that's a big responsibility for me. I love my mother. Unfortunately, as everyone knows, Dad died, and it's just, she's left with me. She's stuck with me, whether she likes it or not. And I take on that responsibility with love, there's no, I guess, regrets in that. I'm happy to do that. And like I said, love my mom to death. We've always had a good relationship, and I'm thankful for that. And part of that was set forth with how I was raised, you know, to always love my father and mother, and we'll always do that, hopefully. So we need to remember, even as we get older, that we're to honor our parents and to take care of them as they get older. Never neglect our responsibility. Next, we'll look at how a man should act as a servant of God. Finally, let's take a look at a few things that are involved in acting like a man who is a servant of God. First thing we will notice is that there are many things that we should pursue and flee as Christian men, according to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 through 14. "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a great summary that all Christian men should follow. Well, basically, in a nutshell, Paul is telling us to flee from evil and worldly things, but pursue after those things that will lead you to eternal life. And the way that we do that is by keeping all of God's word without spot. You see, a man of God will make every effort to be a true child of God. Another thing that a Christian man will do is find work. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Make every effort to be a true child of God. Find a work that he can do for the Lord. We've all been given an ability to do a service for the Lord, and we should be willing to use it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 through 11. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, there are many, many more examples and scriptures we could use, but I hope that I've provided you with enough this morning to show you what it really means to act like a man. There's much more to being a man than being macho. As a Christian man, whether you're single, married, a father, or a son, we all have a great responsibility in serving God and those around us with love. Real men love the Lord and their family with all of their heart. You know, as I put this lesson together and went over it, and it hit home with me a lot with Mom, and then, as I've said before, with affection and nurturing of my wife and even my children. Of all these things that he set before us as men that we need to do, and you look back on a worldly man, and a worldly man doesn't have the same characteristics as a Christian man. A worldly man wants to be big and macho and you know, belittle people and break them down to show that they're dominant over someone else. And that's not what a Christian man does. A Christian man shows love. They show affection not only to their wives, but they show love and affection to their brothers and sisters in Christ. Even people that aren't brothers and sisters in Christ, you show them that love and affection, and whether they reject you or they don't, you will still stick out in their head of, hey, he didn't do what most men do to me. He didn't puff out his chest and try to challenge me. He said, he just looked at me with a straight face and said, I'll pray for you, or turn the other cheek. And that'll get to them. Whether they come to church or whatever they do, that'll still stick out to them. But I think that the things that we've studied this morning, every man should look at and break down those walls. There's pride, and that's what gets in our way. Every man, we all have pride. And if you let that pride go away and truly let God in and look at His word and follow that, you'll be surprised, pleasantly surprised, at what you'll find in the difference in your life, the difference in your marriage, the difference in how you react and act with your children. Because the things that you do now, they affect what your life's going to be in 20 years. They affect what your life's going to be in 5 years. I want to have the relationship with my wife that once the kids are out of the house, not that I want the kids out of the house yet, but I want to have that relationship with my wife that whenever my kids are out of the house, that we act the same way that we did when we first met, when we first got married. You hear too often of kids moving out and mom and dad don't get along, and within a year or two, they get a divorce and they've been married for 20, 30 years. The things you do today will affect how you live in 5 and 20 years.